Hey guys, I just want to take a minute to tell y'all about a local business here in town. I'm so excited about it because it's open and it's awesome. We have a Halloween shop here in town. It's called M&M's Little Shop of Horrors. They have whatever it is that you're looking for this Halloween season. They got costumes for your kids, costumes for your pets, costumes for yourself. They have decorations, candles, whatever it is that you look for. I just saw on their Facebook, too, that they have Power Rangers t-shirts, and I can't be more excited about that. I'm going to have to go in and be rocking the Blue Ranger shirt here pretty soon. If you want to go check them out, they are open from Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays from 11 to 7, and then on Sundays from 1 to 7. They are located at 561 Boltman Drive, Suite 6B here in Sumter, South Carolina. And if y'all want to give them a call and just see what they have, maybe put in a special request for something, their number is 803-468-5394. Again, that's 803-468-5394. You can check them out on Instagram, on the Facebooks, and see what they have to offer. Again, that's where I saw that they had the Power Rangers shirt. So great way of advertising. Give them a call, see what they've got to offer. Go check them out. Tell them that I sent you. They'll absolutely love that, I'm sure. And again, that is M&M's Little Shop of Horrors. Enjoy the show. Holy crap. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Not Religious Podcast. My name is Blake.
And I am Brian.
I
sounded like a robot.
I am Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
AI has taken over.
Yes.
Yep. Now Brian is no longer with us. He is now a robot. We're back. We did not have an episode last week. I do apologize. I was on my honeymoon.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. We had a blast, too.
Did you?
Yep.
That's good.
We went to Disney for a day.
Yeah.
Went to the Magic Kingdom. Allie had never been to Disney World before. We were given the opportunity to go. So we went, took full advantage of that, had a blast. It's October now, so there's Halloween things going on. We really took advantage of that.
You wore some obnoxious mouse ears.
Sure did. I had Jack Skellington mouse ears from Nightmare Before Christmas. I rocked them all day long.
That's what I love about you, though. Like, you would do it, and you're just like, yeah, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to wear them.
Yep.
I would be the guy making fun of you. Like, if I were at the park, I'd be like, look at this tool walking around with mouse ears is a grown man.
Well,
but you embraced it, dude.
Well, for a minute there, we were walking around, and I was just noticing. I people watch a lot.
Yeah, stalker.
I'm watching these people. No guys wearing mouse ears. No guys whatsoever.
Exactly.
I looked at Allie and I said, "I don't think these are for guys." She said, "What?" I said, I'm not seeing any dudes rocking some mouse ears.
They're not.
I said, but, you know, mine's more of a hat, and hers was more of a headband type thing.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. So I was like, maybe the hat is supposed to be for guys, and the headband is for girls. And I did notice later on in the day, there was more guys wearing the... In fact, there was a guy wearing the headband, and I was like, more power to you. In fact, it was Minnie Mouse ears.
But what, did he have a little girl?
No. Him and his girlfriend, fiance, wife, or something, see a little girl.
Okay.
Honestly didn't.
Did she have ears on?
Excuse me. Yes, she did. Excuse me. Sorry. I'm not drinking cold brew this time. I'm drinking Blenheim ginger ale. So.
Anyhow.
It's making me very burpy.
Let's move on from that.
So, went to Universal the rest of the week. Had fun with that. Halloween Horror Nights. Went through the Stranger Things haunted house.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was good.
Oh, yeah. But we're back with another episode this week. In fact, we're a little early this week.
We are, but we're late from last week. So
yep. Try to make up for it.
It all evens out.
Yep. We're gonna talk about some possibly controversial issues today.
What?
What? We don't do that. Today we're going to talk about televangelists, tithing.
Yeah.
You know, is it a scam? Is it a, you know, a fraud?
Sure.
That type of thing. You know more of the tithing aspect of it.
Yeah.
I just know what I've witnessed
in life.
I mean, my mom watches a lot of televangelists and things like
that. Yeah, she does, but I don't think she gets caught up in it. I think she likes listening. There's a couple good, I think she calls them TV preachers.
Yeah.
Not televangelists.
Yeah, TV preachers.
Yeah. Yep. So there's a couple good, she actually listens to a Catholic guy, father, I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
But,
cause you've been staying with her.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So Lee and I and the kids are homeless cause we sold our house and we're waiting for our new house to be ready for us to move in. And in the meantime, we're staying out in Ashwood with, and for those of you in different parts of the country, please Google Ashwood, South Carolina.
Or Trashwood.
And bring it up on the maps. It's out in the middle of nowhere. And it's where Blake and Lee and man, that's where they grew
it's
up.
It's my stomping grounds, yeah, man.
And Pee Wee Gaskins.
And Pee Wee Gaskins.
Fun fact. But we've been staying out there. So last Sunday, I was getting ready for church. I was ironing Alex slacks, his church pants.
Slacks.
And your mom was running around the house like she normally does, taking care of like 114 things. But she had the TV on. I don't even know what the station's called. It's the, you know.
TBN.
There you go, TBN.
Yep.
And she wasn't watching it. It was just on. And there was a televangelist that came on. And he was talking about if you could just sow $1,000 seed. His name was Jensen Franklin.
Yeah.
And that's what really caught me by surprise, because coming out of the Church of God world, Jensen Franklin's like the man.
Oh yeah.
Like he's the pinnacle.
Seen him twice.
He's the pinnacle of preaching. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And to hear him say, if you could just sow $1,000 seed into this ministry, your blessings would be bountiful.
Yep.
And I finished ironing, and on the way to church, it's a good 20-minute ride into town. That's all I could think of was
$1,000.
$1,000 seed. Just sow $1,000. This dude just asked on TV for people. And I think about the people who are watching this, like your mom,
yeah,
who don't have $1,000 to sow a seed. But it just, again, this is something that I didn't grow up with that just shocked the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. Like I've always heard of televangelists, but never really dug into it to see what it all is. And it shocked the mess out of me to just think that this dude, this man of God, is asking people to sow a seed of $1,000. It's unfathomable to me.
Yep.
And then to then go into a church service, that's all I'm thinking about. But you know what? At that church service, they don't take up an offering there. There's offering boxes in the back. If you want to make an offering, you do it, or you can do it online. There's a short mention of it in their weekly announcements.
Yeah.
Just saying, if you would like to give to such and such church, the baskets are in the back, or the boxes are in the back, or you can do it online. Thank you for your giving. And that's it. It's left alone.
Yep.
I haven't heard them talk about money, you know, since I've been visiting there. All that to say, this is just a whole new world to me.
Yep.
And it, like last time we did something, it's blowing my mind, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The more I look into it, it's blowing my mind.
Yep.
Now you have more knowledge, with these guys.
Yeah. My mom has watched several of them. And they're not all bad.
No.
Not all bad.
I don't think that just because it's on TV that they're bad.
Right. It's the ones that always stand out to me and is the ones that take the extra time to talk about giving money.
Sowing that seed.
Sowing that seed. You'll get blessings from sowing that seed.
Dude, I... Listen, in preparing for this, I watched probably 35 or 40 or so clips or whatever videos on televangelism and televangelists, and I mean from curing cancer.
Yeah.
If you just send in your money, your cancer is going to be cured. Mm-hmm. If you send in your money, if you're in credit card debt,
send it in anyway,
send it in on your credit card and then your credit card debt will be wiped out.
Yep.
The ones that really get me are the money back guarantees. Yeah. Because who's going to go to Jesse Duplantis and say, I gave you $500 last week last year.
Yeah.
And my house is foreclosed on, you know, I've lost my car. My wife divorced me. I need that $500 back. No one's going to go to these guys and call them on their bluff.
Yeah.
And if they do call them on their bluff, I'm sure they've got something prepared of,
you know, what I think it would be.
What
is, they would say, you haven't given God enough time.
Right.
To bless
right,
you.
Right. Or what are you doing to prevent the blessings of God? Like, I can see that coming. Or let's analyze. Let's look at, oh, well, all this stuff happened to you. Or even if nothing bad has happened to them, mm-hmm. just living a normal life.
Your blessing.
Gave the $500 and, you know, you haven't had a monetary return on that, or nothing exceptional's happened in your life in the last 8 months or whatever. That is your blessing.
Yep.
The fact that the devil has left you alone, or God is blessing you by keeping stress off. I mean, it's anything, man. You can tie anything into that.
Yep.
You know, it's a con.
Yeah, it is big time.
It's a con.
Big time. I told you before, I was a faithful giver for a little while there.
Mm-hmm.
I made sure that, you know, 10%, man, that's what I was just always told. But again,
and that's anyway, go ahead.
I've never, at that time, I didn't do research on my own about why is it 10%? You know, where did that come from?
Sure.
You know, that's just what I always heard. You give 10% of whatever you make.
Right.
So I was doing that. I would calculate the 10% of whatever it was that I got on either my paycheck, or if I got a little bit extra or whatever it was. And one time I did that and I overdrafted.
So it ended up costing you more.
Yeah. I actually lost money when I tithed faithfully. But I've always had a weird place about that, 'cause I'm really weird with money.
Yeah.
As far as ministries go, I've been in some situations where you're at a special event and someone comes out. It seems like, you know, we would go to these youth retreats and things like that. And in the midst of the fun of what you're having in the worship and the different musical acts that are there,
yeah,
it's like they kill the vibe by bringing out this dude to come out there, and he's, you know, trying to be really cool with all the kids. He's talking about the bands that's there and whatnot. And then he starts talking about money, and I'm like, oh my God, here we go. he takes up a 30-minute spot to show you these pictures of kids starving, you know, in a third world country. And giving you this sob story and telling you about how your money is going to help these kids and give to this ministry and things like that. And yes, I do think those things are important. The problem was that one time we were at something and this guy that got up there was talking about, I need you guys just to dig deep, right? Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
I need you to reach down a little bit further into your pockets, maybe reach down further into your wallets. And, you know, if you're only going to give $5 or $10, God doesn't want that.
Oh my God.
I'm dead serious. That's what was said. God wants you to really dig deep, because these blessings that you're going to reap from giving, are unfathomable. I got words now that I can't say. Yep. But
you know, let's really try to, you know, give $100, give, yeah. you know, $150. And I yeah. was like, what? I'm good. Thanks. Now you killed the vibe
right.
for me.
Like,
you know?
Even if you wanted to give like that yeah. kind of, and I'll tell you something. Okay. So coming, when I was first starting out in ministry, this was a whole new world to me. I've said that a couple times, but, coming into the Pentecostal
world. It's because Aladdin's
world,
coming
it
out.
It is.
The live yeah. action Aladdin.
Yeah.
I get you.
Coming into the Pentecostal world was something new for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first became, when I first got the job, to be on staff at a church, it was around April of whatever year. And, so I was like a sponge, man. I wanted to intake every piece and bit of information I could to help me not only survive, but thrive in this new world that I was in. Because it was quite different. It's quite different than the normal, everyday life. And it's even more different than other religious, types of life and things like that.
Yeah.
So I was trying to soak it all in. Okay. So a couple months after I first start, we have this statewide meeting. So it's like a statewide revival where all the ministers from the state come to this one place. And, you know, there's thousands of people here. So me trying to be this sponge, I get told, now one of the techniques about the offering or asking for offering is you get people to stand up so that they will easily go for their wallet. It's not a task for them to go for their wallet if they're sitting down. And I laughed. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. Until I was there for, you know, all 5 days of this thing. Every person who took up offering, who got up on stage and did the offering speech, had people standing up.
Yep.
And I was like, oh my Lord, this is a tactic.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back on that and I feel sick in my stomach about that. Another thing was at this event, the people who would ask for the offering, the group of men, whoever did it over the course of 5 or 6 days, competed with each other to see who brought in the most offering. At the time, I was like, oh, okay, you know, it's just part of the culture or whatever. I look back on it now and I get sick in my stomach.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Like, I can't believe the audacity of the testicular fortitude that these dudes have to do that. But the people went along with it like sheep,
oh, yeah.
man. People stood up. No, everyone just did it.
Because no one asks questions.
No one asked questions.
Nope.
I didn't ask questions. I was so entranced.
You're told that it's wrong to ask questions
right.
about that.
I was
kind
so
of
entranced yep. into trying to learn everything I could that common, out of place things just whizzed over my head. And now that I can, you know, look back on it, I'm like, oh my Lord, this is completely wrong.
Yeah.
Like crazy wrong.
Yep. I spent a few months where I was really faithful with that.
Yeah.
And I was making sure that I did tithe and that I gave and that I was doing my duty as yeah. a Christian, as a member of a church, as an attendee and all that jazz. And I always felt a little weird about it, you know, yeah. especially whenever the time is taken out of your sermon to really hit that home. You know what I mean? Like, let's take some time to really talk about your benefits of giving and what you're going to get out of it.
Yeah. And they're all tactics.
Yeah.
And I just gave you one example. I could probably list you, you know, 10 or 11 examples of tactics used to get people to give,
mm-hmm.
you know, make people excited about giving, let
yeah.
them hoop and holler and cheer during the offering to, you know, garner, you know, usher in some sort of false sense of this is exciting for us to do.
Right.
But let me digress a little bit and say, I'm not against tithing. I'm not against, I think a church needs that.
Yeah. Because
that's how the bills are paid.
The way I started to look at it whenever I did start doing my research was, well, what do you, how do you think that these people get the money to pay for the lights?
Sure.
To pay for the equipment that's being used, right. Pay for, right. You know, the salaries, chairs. Yeah. There's people that work at the church. Right. Yeah. Of course. Like where's the money coming from?
Right.
It's not a requirement that you don't have a membership to a church as far as like, it's just automatically drafted out of your account.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's probably a lot of places that would love to actually start doing that. Yeah. It's probably not too far.
Some places that
probably already started. Yeah.
I've done that.
But so that made more sense to me. I was like, okay, it does mean something to give. And yeah, it is going into the church, and no, God doesn't need my money. And that, and at a young age, I was always made to believe that you're literally giving your money to God.
Mm-hmm.
But at a young age where I wasn't questioning anything, I was like, okay, yes, I'm giving God my money. And then as I got older, I was like, God doesn't need my money. He doesn't need any physical objects that are on this earth. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So there's a turning point in every church where it turns into a business. And I'm okay with it being a business.
It almost has to be in some sense.
As long as the business is about God.
Yeah.
And Jesus and doing things in the community and helping educate, making disciples, basically. Yeah. Not entertaining the people who come every Sunday, not keeping them on the hook and keep them coming back every week so you get more money. It should be the business of giving.
Yeah.
Of you get what you get in as a church, you need to be putting out as a church. So I'm okay. I have no problem with tithing. I think everyone should, if you are a faithful attender of a church, you should help support that church.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in that. There's several times in the New Testament where, you know, Jesus, that it's mentioned, but it's normally all referring to Old Testament stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Jesus kind of seems to support tithing here and there, but at the same time, he's criticizing the Pharisees and bringing out the hypocrisy of what they're doing and that they're obeying the letter of the law instead of the spirit of the law. Jesus was all about the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. You don't have to follow the law, follow the spirit, follow where God is taking you. So to require a set amount, that 10%, I don't think was supported by Jesus. I think it was more of, you should follow what God is telling you to do.
Are you referring to Deuteronomy?
For the Old Testament stuff?
Old Testament?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I read that verse the other day because, again, I never did the research as to why is it 10% up until recently, okay? So
there's some stuff in Leviticus and Numbers. I mean,
right.
It's peppered in here and there.
This one that I read in particular is from Deuteronomy
26.
I believe so. Yeah. 22 through 24, okay. Something like that.
Yeah.
Make an offering of 10%, a tithe of all the produce, which grows in your fields year after year. Yada, yada, yada. Actually, I don't know if it's a good thing to yada, yada the Bible.
Well, you
but
just
I just
did.
Sorry, Lord. But it goes on to say in 24, but if the place your God designates for worship is too far away and you can't carry your tithe that far, God will still bless you.
Yeah.
So that tells me,
and
if I didn't give that 10%, I mean, it's okay. You don't have to drive it home. You don't have to take 30 minutes out of your morning announcements to really push that. You know what I mean?
And then it goes on a few lines after that. It talks about giving to, you know, widows and orphans and foreigners and ensuring that those tithes are used to meet those needs as well. So even in the Old Testament, it's telling you that the dynamic of the church is not meant for itself.
Yeah.
It's meant what comes in needs to go out.
Yeah.
I'm okay with the top of the line equipment. I'm okay with air conditioning. I'm okay with nice chairs. I'm okay with it all as long as what is going out is equal to what is coming in.
Yep.
And not a lot of people agree with that.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Everyone's got their own thing for how you want to look at where money is being spent in a church.
Sure. Personal preferences.
Yeah. I'm okay. Like, I'm the same way. I think that a nice sound system, good equipment is great. I think it's important for worship.
I do too.
Because I'm not the type of person that thinks that a distraction in worship is good.
Right.
So if your sound sucks, it's a distraction. The only thing that some people are going to think about, myself included, is holy crap.
Yeah.
The sound dude.
Well, you know me. That's the first thing I.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, if the equalizer is off on, you know, 1000K or 100K or whatever, I'm going to hear it.
Yep.
And that's all I'm going to think about is how can I get to the soundboard and help this guy out.
Yep. Well, anytime we've played anywhere and you go set up and the sound is just not what you're hoping that it is, the reason we get frustrated is not because we're a bunch of douchebags. It's because that distraction, if you get up on stage and your mic starts feeding back or you hit the mic stand like I just did and probably caused a loud boom in the audience, that distraction is going to take away from the worship. And that worship is the whole reason that we're there in the first place.
There's a whole theory of music.
Yeah.
I mean, sounds, tones, flow, tempo, melody, all of that stuff. I mean, you have a range of frequency to be able to convey what emotion that song is putting out. We're getting off on a tangent.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. I need to stop. Money is important.
Money is important.
For that.
Right.
Because
that stuff
requires a few bucks.
Spend money on chairs. Spend money on nice.
Because you don't want people sitting the metal chairs and
spend money on
you get
coffee,
a hemorrhoid from
spend money on whatever. I don't care. I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just whatever you're putting in to bringing in as that church, your mission is to be putting out.
Yep.
And if it's unbalanced, then your motivations are not what God wants them to be.
Yep.
And I feel comfortable saying that. Your motivations are solely flesh and not doing the ministry of God.
Now, let me ask you this. Say you're at a church.
Yep.
Okay. The preacher gets up, goes off on this spiel.
Mm.
About, I need all of you to really pour into this because I think this is essential for my ministry.
Ooh.
I need this $54 million jet.
Yeah.
So I can travel the world, spread the gospel in one round trip.
Oh, gosh.
Thoughts?
Wow, there's so many thoughts. Who is that? Who is the?
All right, so there's actually
there's a couple of them.
There's a quite a few. Yeah. This one in particular was Jesse Duplantis.
Okay, that's who I mentioned earlier. Let me tell you something about Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah, he was another.
He got a plane, and homeboy was taking ski trips, hunting trips
for the Lord,
in his new plane.
Yeah,
now
dude,
your local
spread that
church
gospel.
Probably isn't going to be asking
God
for a $54 million plane. So we get on these tools who are on television every week, who are fleecing it, and you know who they're targeting. Old people.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And you know why they're kicking things in high gear? Because all those baby boomers and people after them, they're dying off.
Yeah.
Or they're about to die off. Or they're going into homes.
Yeah.
And so...
Not able to give.
They're not able to give.
Yeah.
So they're kicking in high gear because generation, you know, exennial and millennial.
That's you.
Right. These people who... Who like throwing up the BS flag? They're not
it
buying it. Not only are they want no part of it, dude. They don't even have cable.
No,
we're streaming stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Netflix and Hulu.
But you know what? I just found out the other day too.
Stop it!
I'm dead.
Shut up.
Listen. We put the TV up, right, and we connected Allie's Roku into it. And Elevation has a streaming app on the Roku.
Furtick and them.
Furtick and them's got a streaming app. Yo, what's up?
But
that's cool.
What are they doing on the streaming?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I totally get it.
His service or
Furtick
whatever?
Furtick and them, man.
Look, and I love me some Furtick and them, and I hate me some Furtick and them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can see him becoming one of these guys.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't.
I hope he doesn't.
God, I hope he doesn't.
Because they do a lot of good stuff out in the community. But I can see him becoming one of these guys.
God, I really hope he doesn't.
I can see him being the next Benny Hinn.
Yeah. Oh, crap. I didn't even have anything about him.
You didn't have
A single thing about Benny Hinn in my notes.
The bodies hit the floor.
Slapping people with the jackets, man.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I think you listened to the same interview that I did with his nephew.
Yeah, who on was Bad Christian.
His like number two guy for so long who came out and said, no, it's all bullcrap.
Oh, yeah.
And Homeboy, not only is it all bullcrap,
that's a very important episode that people should go listen to. It's called Bad Christian Podcast. There, I can't remember what the number is, but there's an episode with Benny Hinn's nephew that everyone should go check out.
And the stuff that they faked and did and from faking speaking in tongues to fake healing to fake everything. They just were trying.
For example, there was one they talked about where they were having a revival and they had pre-selected people who were going to come up and talk about how they were going to get healed right then and there.
Mm.
There were people that would come up and say, I've got cancer and I need to be healed. I want to be healed. I want to go up and I want to have him smack me in the face with his jacket so I can be healed. And so they have people that kind of stand up at the stage, I guess, kind of like security, I guess.
Yeah.
And they were going up and they were like, I want to do this. And they were like, okay, we've got too many people. If you want to just go sit back down and wait for God to bless you, you know, instead of putting them up there and being put on the spot and be like,
right. Because they were trying to heal people with like canes and stuff, stuff that they could visually.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Something
prove.
You can see. Yeah.
And, you know, there was something that came out, speaking of Furtick and them, was, the whole baptism thing. Like, did you hear about that at all?
I don't think so.
Like, staged baptisms. I'm okay with pre-screening. Basically, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Is they pre-screened these people, put them in the audience, and said, you know, when it's time for the baptism, we want you guys to get up and come out. And they pre-screened them. Especially for something as serious baptism. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm okay with that because going back to my, you know, preacher training that, you know, I underwent or whatever, something that I soaked up was, and, you know, my mentor showed me that this is a real good tactic. You don't give that microphone
to just
anyone.
Nope.
Because then you got, you know, crazy lady, you know, Gloria, who starts talking about, you know, she got cured of syphilis, you know. Or whatever. You never know what's going to come out of somebody's mouth, man.
Praise God.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm okay with pre-screening. I'm not okay with faking. And I'm not okay with pre-screening for an agenda.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with pre-screening the crazy people, but let's not pre-screen what miracle we're going to have God do. Yep. You know, that's a sham.
Yeah.
Do you remember the guy... you put the hand on the television?
No.
What was that guy's name?
I don't know. I didn't see anything about him.
Neil.
Young.
A guy we know who's a pastor had a poster of him.
Diamond.
No.
Neil Diamond.
No. He had a poster of him and it, you know, was making fun of him and it's got his, it's him. And
oh,
his
yeah.
Hand.
I've seen that. Okay. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I guess his shtick was, you know, if you put your hand on the screen, you would receive your healing and your blessing. Through the television.
That's like Poltergeist, man.
It is. And, you know, people could say what we're saying is limiting the power of God.
Creflo Dollar Isn't that a name for a televangelist that wants your money, right?
I want his name.
Yeah, dude. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. I know exactly who.
So he was asking for donations for a $65 million.
Yep. I saw that
jet one time. And
what's
so
what's up with these dudes in jets?
Jesse Duplantis had a I watched a few clips. Here's the thing. I can't go back and find the original video anywhere. It's not on his website. It's not on his YouTube page. I can't find it. All I can find is just bits and pieces that were featured on news segments or something.
Yeah, yeah.
About this, where he was asking for donations. Sketches. Because then he released a video and said, I never asked for donations for a jet.
Right.
I was like, but you did. But anyway. So his thing about the plane was, I want to be able to do it in one round trip. And I need this specific jet to be able to do that. Now he's owned like two or three before in the past. This one was just top of the line, and we need to make sure that it's the best because we're doing God's work.
Of course.
And one of the, in his quotes, one of the quotes was, if Jesus was here on earth today,
stop it.
Dead serious. If Jesus was here on earth today doing ministry, do you think he would be traveling the world on a donkey? No, he would be doing it in a private jet.
He'd be doing it in a Gulfstream. Oh my god.
Dead
goodness.
Serious. So Creflo Dollar is another one that asked for that.
Is that their status symbol? Is that how you can tell who's the best?
Who's making the big bucks?
Best televangelist is
if you got a plane or two.
What kind of jet you have?
Must be. If the jet wasn't enough, so with Creflo Dollar, I found another clip about him, a news segment. The Senate Finance Committee launched an investigation, and they were like, hold up, why are all these televangelists so freaking rich?
Well, they can't touch them. The IRS, baby.
Exactly. It's tax-free. Yeah, yeah, man. Can't do a single thing. They don't have to release crap.
Yep.
So they launched this investigation, and they were going to try to check out the financial practices of Dollar and five other televangelists.
Mm-hmm.
So that their donors could be assured that their money was being used for the right reasons, right? Yeah. All of them declined.
Yeah, of course.
Every single one of them was like, no, you're not going to look into what I spend my money on.
Not doing it.
Creflo's Atlanta campus in 2005. Now, I don't know what, I couldn't find a more recent study, but in 2005 alone took in $69 million.
So why does he need people to give more? What?
Well, he swears up and down he doesn't use it for personal gain. Meanwhile, he's rocking a $2.3 million home in Atlanta.
Right, right, right.
So, you know, I mean...
fun fact for you, the IRS has only, in the last 10 years, has only audited three churches.
Really?
10 years, three churches.
Because they don't have to release anything.
No. No,
this is crazy to me.
It is obscenely crazy.
And I don't understand why that is, though. Like, why is that?
It's way back to the founding, man. It's so the separation of church and state.
Gotcha.
It's given religious freedom. It's, you know, what they have done is, and the government is so afraid to go against, to, you know, bring a case up against a religion because... you know, I mean, gosh, think about
an uprising.
Yeah, any religion. Think about Mormonism or anything. Utah tried when they started the whole thing on polygamy.
Yeah,
dude, they had to. It was crazy. It's side subject, but go look that up. When they were trying to outlaw polygamy, and still to this day, they meet resistance from that. So. The government's scared to go against a religious organization.
Yeah.
They're frightened because the law protects them. The IRS is a strong entity in this country.
Yeah.
And they will not mess with a religious organization. That tells you something.
And they definitely don't want to mess with Pat Robertson.
No.
From the 700 Club. He'll kill you.
He's the king of it, right? He's
the mob boss. Yes. He's, do you have any information on him?
No.
Okay.
No.
So, as far back as I can remember, I think since the dawn of man, the 700 Club has been around.
700 AD.
Yeah. I mean, and I wasn't too interested in it anytime it was on, but you know, I've seen a few stories and looking back on it now, yeah, I remember all this, but there was like a former producer of the 700 Club that came out one time after he quit working for them and was like, look, Pat Robertson is one of the biggest scam artists that's ever been.
Yeah.
There's stories that they have on the 700 Club. Very rarely do they ever deal with like doom and gloom. And sure, it's just a story of overcoming or something like that. It's always, this person gave, and they really prospered from their giving.
Right.
So much so that they had a really good story one time, and I can't remember what the story was exactly, but they presented it. Pat Robertson looked at the story and was like, if you put that on the air, you're going to cost this ministry millions of dollars.
Wow.
He was very, very much into whatever stories you put on there, you need to make sure that the people look good.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that it's going to appeal to the right audience and encourage people to give their money. See how this person gave their money.
Right.
And now they're living their best life. Who's that? Joel Osteen? It's a book or something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
So
he's another crook. Look, and here's what blows my mind, Blake, is we know about, I have found out about this, you know, in the last couple of days. I've always kind of known about it, but I've really found out about it the last couple of days. Even before then, I knew televangelism, they were, you know, in the same category as carnies. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I viewed them. But there are people out there who fall victim to this, and I don't understand how and why they give these guys money. Yeah. Especially when I would say 80% of them have had scandals, have, you know, come out as adulterers or abusers, domestic violence, drug problems, all of these things, and people still give them money.
I think some people are just so easily manipulated into believing that they are God on earth, you know? Like, they're like, even Furtick and them, I think there's a lot of people that really worship Furtick
instead of
God.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they just don't know how to, it sounds absurd, but honestly, they don't know how to distinguish the difference between them, you know?
And that can be seen on the local level all the way up to these televangelists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They start worshiping and I'm going to use the word worshiping, or they start following an ideal or a person or a place instead of God. Yep. So they start putting their faith in a
because
place.
Because you can't see God, you know, so you automatically, you know, and people talk about even Furtick and them, elevation worship,
yeah,
you know, and elevation worship is the best thing that ever happened to worship music ever.
Well,
to where I'm like, I've heard better.
Right, but they're good.
But they're good. But they, you know, we've been up there. I've been up there twice. Yeah. You've been up there, I think, more than that. And they're great. I mean, their worship band is amazing.
Definitely.
But is the song, the worship song itself, the best thing that's ever happened? No.
Probably not. No.
Very simplistic, very elementary as far as songwriting goes. So, no, I don't think it's the best thing that ever
But it's done with the best intentions or good intentions.
But people go up there and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for Elevation Worship to come out.
Right.
Aren't you supposed to be excited about worshiping
the word
God?
And
you know,
worshiping
it could be, you know,
yeah,
Aunt Bessie comes out with a tambourine.
Right.
Are you going to have the same worship experience?
Exactly.
And that goes into, well, the money is poured into their equipment and their, you know, this and that. Yeah. I'm on board with that. I get it totally. But you need to figure out what the difference is between what you're worshiping. You know?
Right. And what's your reason for, if you're just going for a concert, then you're going for a concert, go for a concert.
Dude, we've seen Hillsong. We saw Hillsong a few years ago.
Yeah.
I remember you coming up to me afterwards and was like, that was one of the best concerts that I've ever been to.
Right.
And it was supposed to be a worship,
right.
worship experience, you right. know? But honestly, yeah, they put on a great show.
Great show.
Yep.
Awesome. For King and Country.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best showmen.
The drums.
Concert.
And fire.
All of it, man. I mean,
oh, the dude, yeah.
Awesome. But yeah, people start worshiping or going for, or their intentions or their attention is strictly on something other than God.
Yep.
And we see it, you can see it from your church on the corner all the way up to these televangelism guys.
Yeah.
I just don't get it, man. I don't. And I think, like I said, they're kicking it in high gear because all these baby boomers and the generation before them, or I don't even know if they have a name.
Yeah.
The generation before them. Anyway,
that's what they're called.
Well, there you go. I mean, honestly, they're all dying out and they're all going in homes. I would be curious to know how many people have died hoping for their blessing after sowing in so much, dying of cancer,
yeah, oh, yeah.
tumor, whatever, heart trouble, that were sowing these seeds into these television ministries, waiting for their blessing, waiting for their healing, because they preach healing with giving too.
Yeah. Oh, you give me money. Rod Parsley was a good example of that. I saw a clip.
Was he the guy with the hand on the poster?
It might. No, I don't think it was him, but he's a prosperity preacher.
Sure.
And he told the story about how a woman, was pregnant and they already knew that the child was going to be born with brain tumors. She gave faithfully for a few months. The child was born because she was given and believing that God was going to heal that baby. So I'm giving you my money, and I'm expecting blessings in return. And yes, the baby was born without any brain complications whatsoever. Now, yes, I do think that's a work of God. That is a miracle. That's awesome. Sure. Do I think it's because that woman gave her money? Nope. not a chance. But Rod Parsley was really driving it home that because of her faithful giving, God answered her prayer. And I was like, I don't think so.
Right. I would like to have that number of how many people have died.
Yeah.
Because the videos that I've watched here, I've watched these clips of men and women, televangelism folks who have said, you know, who started off with, you know what, if you've been given a diagnosis of insert whatever disease it is,
yeah.
cancer, AIDS, whatever it is, if you've been given this, do you want to go to the doctor and have them pump you full of poison? Or would you rather sow a seed in this ministry and let your faith heal you? Oh my gosh. And listen, I believe in healing. I believe in miracles.
Yeah.
I believe in God can do it all. But I don't believe in putting a price tag on it.
No.
At all. I don't,
and don't
believe-
take the time to really drive that point home, you know, like make a subtle announcement. Yeah. People need to know that if they want to give their money,
if you want to support,
I mean,
this
we're not
going to
turn it down.
We're doing this. We're doing A, B, C, and D out in the community.
Yep.
If you like to support this ministry, support the staff here. Boom. Support us.
Yeah. And then
Done.
Leave it alone.
Leave it
alone.
Leave it.
Just stop. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm right there.
Leave it
right there with you.
Dude, just with,
because you've made your point. That was all your bullet points right there. Boom, boom, right. boom. Call it a day.
Call it a day.
Yep.
Drop the mic.
Yep. Don't get up there and
please drop
the mic, or before I drop you. That was my thing. Didn't like it. Never felt comfortable with it. To those that are listening, if you're in that point where you're like, I don't know if I really want to give my money, because I'll be honest with you, I stopped. I was like, I'm seeing what this is being used for, not comfortable with it. I'm out, you know, stopped, was just fine. Mm-hmm. I didn't, my finances didn't crumble
right.
before me. In fact, things got really great when I stopped doing that. So, I don't know. Do your research, first of all, about for anything. Even more than just tithing, just do your own research. Don't let anybody tell you how to do anything when it comes to your faith. Do your research, okay? Yeah. If you feel the need to give to your church or to an organization, it doesn't even have to be a church.
Just a ministry.
A ministry of some sort that you feel is important. By all means, go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Just be careful, because we definitely don't live in a perfect world. And just because someone has the title of reverend doesn't mean that they're doing it with the best intentions. No,
definitely make sure it's, because we see example after example after example of crooks who are using the platform of God to fleece people of money. And it's sickening. It truly is sickening. And I wish it didn't exist. It definitely gives people who profess to be Christians a bad name. You know, and here's another thing, man. This might shock some people. You don't have to be a Christian to have God work a miracle in your life.
No.
To save you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my. Oh, you know what I'm... It's just... It's upsetting.
I've heard a lot of stories of people being like, look, I don't know if I believe in all this stuff, but this happened. I think this was a miracle that this happened.
I know a guy. Yeah. His wife had cancer. Mm-hmm. Bad cancer. Eaten up with cancer.
Yeah.
Doctors... I mean, this wasn't like went in on Tuesday. They said she had cancer, came back on Thursday. Oh, the cancer's not there anymore. Like, it was a battle of cancer.
Right.
And she decided not to do chemotherapy. They decided not to treat it or whatever. They were just going to let it run its course and, you know, let nature do its thing. Weren't religious at all. Not a religious bone in their body. Didn't believe in God. Didn't believe in Santa Claus. Didn't believe in anything.
Oh, my goodness. We're really starting to...
Homegirl went in for her checkup or whatever. It was all gone. All of it.
Yeah.
By itself. Gone. No drugs, no anything. You can't tell me that's not God.
Nah.
And at the same breath, they didn't pray for it. Mm-mm. They didn't ask anyone to pray for it. They weren't Christians.
Because that story was going to be used somewhere.
Exactly.
To minister to someone. Right. Whether they wanted it to be used or not. So, that's how God works.
I don't know.
In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if God was up there orchestrating all that.
Yeah.
You know, and saying, you know, I probably don't need to use this guy right here that, you know, this Christian.
Right.
Because he's going to overcomplicate and probably screw this whole thing up. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So let me bless this person over here.
Yeah, let's go to this person over here.
Right.
Doesn't even believe in me.
Right. Right. You know, and I'm thinking back, I've watched probably 17 or 18 televangelist programs. I won't say 17 hours because some of them were 30 minutes, some of them were 20 minutes.
Some of them are way longer than they should be.
Right. But at the same time, the salvation message was very minute in the broadcast.
Yep.
And the prosperity message was huge.
It's all about the giving, man.
Yeah. So they focused very little on saving the person from eternal damnation, but we're all about, if you sow this seed, I'll send me a dollar. I'll pour some oil on it. Send it back to you. Once it's blessed, send me 300 more, and that's how we'll do it, and then you'll prosper. You know, all these gimmicks and scams.
Who's the guy that always preached on the end of the world?
All of them.
There's one in particular that always had these DVD sets of...
The, like, Blood Moon?
Yeah. I can't remember what his name is. Real heavy set guy?
Yeah. John Hagee?
John Hagee. That was it.
Yep.
All right. So one time... My mom was watching some John Hagee, and always the dude loves to preach on Revelation.
Yeah.
He got to the end of his sermon and the ad pops up for his DVD set of all these things. Right. And it was like, I can't remember exactly how much it was, but it was stupid amount of money. And my mom was writing down the information because she's about to buy this crap. I said, stop it. What are you doing? She said, well, I would really like to have that. I said, hey, we have the internet. I can get you all this information.
Right.
If you would so desire, I'll make you a DVD.
You want to learn about the blood moons? Google, baby.
There's a Bible right here, too. You know, like, come on, don't give your money to this dude.
Right, but she got caught up in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's it. That is their target audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the people who don't ask questions. You know, but I mean, honestly, you know, questions aren't being asked. It's just, that makes sense.
I want to learn more about it instead of
mama,
she probably wanted to learn more about it and look into it.
Yeah.
And maybe that was her way of doing her research.
Right.
But instead of spending all that money, she could have done it for free.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But God bless her.
God bless them all.
God bless them all.
Yeah.
Brian?
I'm good.
You got anything else you want to add?
No, just, I'm all about supporting your local church. As long as you're going to a church that's putting out what they're getting in.
Yeah.
And not trying to build themselves up, is more worried about what's happening around them and how they can help people.
Yep.
I am all about supporting them and supporting their ministries and their preachers and their staff members and their whatever they need. Support them, but make sure you're supporting the right stuff.
If y'all want to send us money, I mean, we're okay with that. Yeah.
We don't
make any money off this.
No, not yet.
Not yet. But you can give it to us. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. We need,
yeah, I'd love to have a jet.
Yeah.
No, I'm scared of heights.
No, but we need 3,000 more, streams for our sponsorship to kick in.
I think we're right at 3. I think we're right at 3,000 right now.
No, we're at a lot more than that.
Are we?
Yeah.
Maybe that's just the...
No, we need 3,000 more.
We need 3,000 more.
Right.
Okay. Well, we can get there.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
We're 3,000 probably on the analytics. Anyway.
Yeah.
We're talking business.
That's okay.
We
can talk business later. You got any song suggestions for your boy?
Oh, but I do.
Okay.
Oh, but I do. Have you ever heard of a little band called The Almost?
Have I ever heard of The Almost? Yes, I have.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Why, yes, I
The
have.
Almost.
Dude, I've said it once. I'll say it again. Aaron Gillespie is the Dave Grohl of this generation.
He really is.
Yep.
How many... What all has he been a part of that you know
So, he was... Yeah, still is the drummer and clean vocalist for Under Oath.
Right.
He.
Are we going to that, by the way?
Yeah, that's December, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I'd still love to go.
It's like on your birthday or mine?
It's one of ours.
Anyway.
They're only a day apart.
Yeah.
So, Under Oath. While he was in Under Oath, he started a little band called The Almost, where he was just singing lead vocals.
Right.
That was pretty cool. He's done a bunch of solo stuff. He's done some worship stuff.
Right.
So, I mean, he's all over the place.
Paramore.
Yeah, I forgot about that. So, he even filled in playing drums for Paramore.
For a year,
yeah. Did a bunch of tours with them. And
he was just supposed to do one gig. And they were like,
stuck
hey.
You
want to ride this thing out?
Yep.
And he was like, yeah, sure. He recorded with them, I think.
Yeah, I think the last album, those drums are actually Aaron Gillespie.
That's crazy.
Isn't that awesome?
If you guys never heard of Aaron Gillespie.
Oh, yeah.
Wikipedia, that dude.
Oh, he's awesome.
And
he's
look
the man.
Up his music stuff. Yeah, yep. His worship stuff was pretty good,
too. Mm-hmm.
But Southern Weather.
Southern Weather, man.
It's a good tune,
that's
man.
That's a classic album.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. It's good tune. Good tune. That's what I'm rolling with. That's what I got. I recommend it. If you've never experienced any Aaron Gillespie, start out with The Almost and Southern Weather.
And if you dig that, go listen to Under Oath stuff. His drumming is incredible. He's an amazing drummer.
Right.
Amazing musician.
I believe he can do it all.
Oh yeah. My song suggestion for this week is some Emory.
Emory.
We were going to get there eventually. I hadn't done a single Emory.
You have not done not any a Emory.
Single,
have I done Emory? No.
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 But I love Emory.
Yes.
I love two guys from Emory have their own podcast. We talked about it already. Bad Christian, if you want to go check that out. There's all kind of stuff that they have going on. They have a new album coming out. They've dropped a few songs. This one that they dropped recently is really, really good. Yeah. And it kind of it's the songs they released previewing the new album didn't really sound a whole lot like Emory. No. This one sounds like Emory.
It sounded very 90s
emo type. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Which I love, and I'm good with that. Yeah, but I mean, just didn't sound like them.
I like all music except for country.
Except for country.
And if Emory's too hard for you, go check out Matt and Toby.
Matt and Toby, yep, because that's the two guys that have the Bad Christian podcast. Yep. They have a side project where they do a lot of worship music.
Right.
Matt and Toby.
Very good.
But Emory, they have a new song called People Always Ask If We're Going to Cuss in an Emory Song. That is the name of the song. To which they don't cuss in this song.
Nope.
So or any of their songs.
They've never cussed in a song.
Not a single cuss word in any of their songs.
And I've heard them explain it. I heard Matt actually talk about it. He said, you know, if it were, they're not afraid to do it. It's just about, is it necessary?
Yeah.
Can I convey the lyric that I'm wanting to send out? If it's necessary, then if cursing is going to bring home that lyric, then I'm going to curse in it.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to write it like that. Toby has said the same thing. But if it's not needed, I'm just not going to put it in just to put it in.
Yep. Yep. Well, this one's great. It sounds just like some old Emory stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a music video that came along with this one that's out too. So they have a new album coming out called Eve. That I'm not sure when that's supposed to be out and about, but
I think it's supposed to be in November.
Is it?
I'm
getting
so
excited. It sounded
because
really
they're doing
good.
Their tour.
I had a dream last night.
Yeah.
That I was filling in playing drums for Emory.
What?
Like they were like, "All right, you ready to go?" And I was like, "Hold up,
yeah.
I just got back to work, and now I'm going to have to take more time off." Like dead serious. That was my main concern.
I'm going to quit my job, and
I had concerns that I had to take off time from work to go play in one of my favorite bands. But anyway. Well, that's my song suggestion.
Yeah.
We do have another song suggestion. I guess you could count as both of ours, maybe.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So our buds and the Tourist.
Right. We were both in this band at one point in time.
Allie was too.
Right?
Yep.
At one point in time. We were both in this band.
Yep.
But now we're not. And
yeah, we were OGs, man. Yeah. We were OGs.
We truly
when this
were.
Thing started, it was us.
Boom.
It has since changed. This is a few guys that have been in Fallen Statues with us too that
playing
have,
our praise and worship band.
Right. So they have this band called The Tourist. They've done some recording recently. They have a new song out on iTunes and Spotify and all that crap, called Alamo Queen.
Alamo Queen.
The
Tourist band.
I like it. Yeah. They have a music video they put out too.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah. If you guys ever heard us talk about McSwain, he's the lead singer in this. Very talented individual.
Another Dave Grohl.
Yeah, just sick.
Aaron Gillespie.
Sick. I'm going to tell a quick McSwain story.
Okay.
All right, so we were over at our friend Ann's house, Ann and Andrew's house. I can't remember for what, for like one of her kids' birthday parties. And there was this little like music thing from Hawaii that her husband Andrew had brought, our good buddy Andrew, he brought back from Hawaii while he was on tour over there. And it was like steel guitar thing type, is about the size of a coffee pot. I don't know. But it was sitting there, and McSwain picks it up and looks at it and messes with it. And then like a minute later is playing a freaking song, like a 4-chord progression song with this little thing. That's how sickly talented he is.
I remember he called me one day and he was like, "Hey man, what are you doing?" I said, "I don't know, whatever." He was like, "I just bought a saxophone."
Right.
I said, "You did?" He said, "Yeah. I don't know. Just wanted to try something out." I was like, "Okay, cool." The next day he already knew how to play Turn the Page by Bob Seger on the saxophone.
On the saxophone.
Yeah. It makes me sick.
I want to punch
he bought
in
a
the
theremin
face.
That time and brought it to
Right. I want to punch him in the practice. Face, man.
Oh, I love it. Anyway, I don't know where that theremin's out. Yeah, we love you, dude.
Yeah.
The Tourist, Alamo Queen, go find it on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, all that
jazz.
They have another song out called Safe.
Yep.
It's really good. Anyway, all right. Check thank you, guys. On yeah.
Instagram and the Facebooks yep. and all that stuff.
They're on the Instagram.
And so are we.
And so are we. Our Not Religious Podcast information. You can find us on Facebook at Not Religious Podcast. You can find us on the Instagram at Not Religious Pod. Send us an email with song suggestions, show suggestions. If you would like to be interviewed for something.
Yes.
Absolutely. Our email address is notreligiouspod@gmail.com. You can find us on all of the following podcast platforms.
Boom.
We are on Apple Podcasts, boom. Spotify, boom. Google Podcasts, boom. Stitcher, boom. Anchor, boom. Breaker, boom. CastBox, boom. Overcast, boom. Pocket Cast, boom. Radio Public.
Every
we're
time
on
you
all
say
that stuff.
CastBox.
Yeah.
Rock the
CastBox.
Rock the CastBox.
Shadiki don't like it.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Tune in next week. We might have something
special
for you.
Be nice to one another.
Yep. Toodaloo. Today's episode is sponsored by AMJ Designs. This company is owned by my good friend Anne-Marie Johansson, and she is truly a master of her craft. AMJ Designs specializes in graphics, logo design, printed advertisements, web design, and much, much more. She just did a ton of stuff for me and Allie's wedding. She designed the Fallen Statues logo, which is the band that we're in, numerous designs for churches and local businesses, and currently she's working on some stuff for the podcast. But you don't have to take my word for it. Check her out today on Facebook at AMJ Designs for all of her contact info. Again, that's AMJ Designs. Welcome back, everybody, to our music portion of the episode. We'll go ahead and jump right into this so we can wrap this episode up. Starting out, we've got Brian's pick for this week, which is Southern Weather by The Almost. And like we said, The Almost is the side project of Aaron Gillespie from Under Oath, who plays drums and sings vocals. He's very much the Dave Grohl of our generation. Super talented, love everything that he does with his solo projects and his worship stuff. Under Oath is back together, better than ever, so check them out. But also go back and listen to these old Almost albums, because they're just as great. This is the title track off their debut album, Southern Weather. I hope you guys enjoy it. Right up next, we've got my pick. This is Emery, which, you know, for those of you who like our podcast, you would probably enjoy Bad Christian Podcast. Two of the guys from Emery put that one on, the singer and the guitarist. So check that out. They have their solo stuff and side projects called Matt and Toby. But Emery's been around for quite some time, very big in the early stages of the emo, screamo wave that swept across the U.S. and really the entire world. Very much the pioneers of that. They're still around, still putting out great music. I can't wait for this new album coming out called Eve. But this song is called People Always Ask If We're Gonna Cuss in an Emery Song.
Curse your job and all that you wanted. Felt the sting of hell.
right, and we are at our last song here. We'll go ahead and wrap the episode up here. This one is the new jam from our buds in The Tourist. Not sure when their album is coming out, but they keep premiering some new songs. Really, really excited about it. I love the sound of it. But yeah, we'll have McSwain on the show here pretty soon. We can talk about tour stuff and all that. But until then, hope these songs will hold you over. Check out their other song, Safe, that's available on iTunes and Spotify and all that stuff. But this song is called Alamo Queen. This is The Tourist. Thank you, guys. We'll catch you next week.
I told you I need you. Would you be mine? Hold my hand. We were 17, but you lay beside me in my bed. It's taking a hold on me. It's taking a hold on me. My Alamo.